Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane or Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought, PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, why people refuse to take the COVID-19 vaccine. To some, getting one of the COVID-19 vaccines is a no-brainer. Take the vaccine and live. To others, it's a red flag, a gamble they are simply not willing to take. Is the vaccine worse than the disease? As if COVID-19 wasn't scary enough, this virus continues to mutate into more infectious variants. Life and or quality of life is impacted in such a way that a person's natural instinct to survive encourages them to get vaccinated. Live today. See what tomorrow brings. Others, suspicions about safety, trust, accountability, vaccine companies' history of lawsuits, rush to authorize, lack of approved alternative treatments, theories and conspiracies regarding the origin of the COVID-19 virus, and no FDA approval. And last but not least, distrust of the government and more have some people refusing to take the vaccine and risking greater infection or even death. Conspiracy or no conspiracy, the infection is real and has been life-changing, if not lethal, to some. They say a virus is not a living organism, yet this particular virus appears to be hell-bent on infecting, debilitating, and or killing as many people as possible and mutating to include all peoples, age, race, sex, economic status, etc. It's almost as if somebody's making something to get what the first one didn't get. It's, all right, we need somebody out here for, we got somebody for the senior citizens. Okay, now we got the adults. Now we got to get these kids. This seems like this virus has a mind, but to say viruses aren't living organisms. Either we are at war or being hunted and exterminated by this virus or both. Yet, United States COVID-19 mandates, restrictions or whatever, remain relaxed. Our borders are wide open. Super spreader events, parties, and gatherings everywhere. Knowing that infection and transmission are possible, vaccinated or not, I wouldn't be surprised to see. There was a sharp spike in COVID-19 infections after in-school learning takes place. As I recall, this population is, or part of it, is largely unvaccinated because they weren't able to get, I think it was up to 12 years old, weren't able to get vaccinated. We'll watch to see what happens in September, October, November and December, see what happens, see if we see a spike, because that would support the whole idea that this is I'm thinking needing support, because we already know it's contagious, so, but the more gatherings you have, the more chance you have of spreading it or anything like it. So, from Esquire, yahoo.com. Public health officials in South Korea have reported the country's first two cases of Delta Plus coronavirus variant. As I said, its name was mutating, right? They say this mutation is a highly contagious Delta variant. So we got the Delta variant, then they got the Delta Plus. So I'm just taking it, we got the COVID-19, the first one we got hit with. So the Delta variant, pick up the slack on that. And I guess we got the Delta Plus. It's going to pick up whatever that doesn't pick up. So that everybody get a taste of this thing. That's what it seems like anyway. Could be right, I could be wrong. Anyway, this highly contagious Delta variant. This is a variant of the variant that we call Delta, right? Responsible for the recent surge in U.S. COVID-19 cases, right? Anyway, Korea identified the first man in his 40s, has no recent travel records. Basically, he had went anywhere recently. And another traveler who recently returned from the good old U.S. of A. Right? That patient had been vaccinated with both doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine. If you don't know about that, that's a DNA, that's a vaccine that uses the DNA molecule. For some reason, it goes into the nucleus, and it's not able to replicate. They miraculously taken out the part that causes it to replicate, and it creates this RNA and goes into, you know, out of the nucleus, back into that, I don't know what part of the cell was called, but that type of thing. AstraZeneca said that's basically that is DNA derivative driven vaccine, where the Moderna and the Pfizer are RNA, which is supposed to be outside of the cell nucleus. They're not supposed to penetrate the cell nucleus. Just to talk about the difference between the two. I'm not a virologist, and I'm not going to try to explain that in depth. Anyway, the Delta Plus has a spike protein mutation called the K417N, which is also found in the Beta variant that was first detected in South Africa. So there are countless variants. Countless, but only specific ones are tracked or labeled of interest or concerns. Delta Plus was listed as a variant of concern by the World Health Organization and the CDC under its technical name, AY.1. All right? With all this information, pro-COVID-19 vaccine, anti-COVID-19 vaccine, rumors and stories about how doctors have been successful in treating patients with hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, rumors and stories that say hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are dangerous or not recommended in the treatment of COVID-19, even a story about an herbalist curing people in India, I think it was India, the home of the Delta virus. I don't know if it came from. That's the first place I heard of Delta was in India. We have alleged censorship, misinformation, disinformation, anti-tax, anti-vaxxers, and conspiracy theories. Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson vaccines are safe, they say. In fact, they are the safest option. That means the safest option, that's safer than not getting vaccinated. I read something from the FDA, FDA.gov, stating the FDA has not approved at this time ivermectin for use in treating or preventing COVID-19 in humans. Ivermectin tablets basically were used for parasitic worms, right? Head lice, skin conditions like Rosacea. Ivermectin is not an antiviral, a drug used to treat viruses. Taking large doses of the drug is dangerous and can cause serious harm, as we know with any drugs, right? Aspirin, prescription drugs, anything. So, I thought ivermectin was an antiviral drug, but apparently it's not. But it has an impact on this COVID-19 thing. So it's only approved use at the time this article was written was for those treatments. Ivermectin is approved antiparasitic agent, right? It inhibits severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2, SARS-CoV-2, replication in vitro. So if somebody had it in a petri dish somewhere or some lab or something, I guess they found this out. Or on a person, I don't know. Anyway, they had randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial was conducted to determine how rapid the viral clearance and safety of ivermectin was among adults with the COVID, right? The trial included 72 hospitalized patients in Bangladesh who were assigned to one of three groups, oral, 12 milligrams once a day for 5 days, or ivermectin in combination of doxycycline, 12 milligrams, and ivermectin, 12 milligrams of ivermectin single dose, and 200 milligrams of doxycycline 1 day, followed by 100 milligrams every 12 hours for at least 4 days. And the placebo control group, right, clinical symptoms of fever, cough, and sore throat were comparable amongst the three groups, they said. Virological clearance was earlier in the 5-day ivermectin treatment. So the virus cleared earlier with the people who were treated with this ivermectin, right? Treatment arm when compared to the placebo group, right? A 5-day course of ivermectin was found to be safe and effective in treating adult patients with mild COVID-19. Larger trials need to be completed to confirm preliminary findings, they say, right? We will mention how strange it is to have relaxed COVID-19 mandates, knowing that a more deadly variants are a greater threat, and that the vaccine, for the most part, ensures that you don't or will not die, but you can be infected and infect others. Yet, unvaccinated people represent a disproportionate amount of the infected and those that have died from complications related to COVID-19. Sounds like a reason to get vaccinated. Yet, some countries have refused to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. So tonight we're going to settle for why people refuse to get the COVID-19 vaccine. So, as I said, I mean, those who have received the vaccine, I'm sure you got it for life. Become as ill if you do happen to be infected, which is logical. I get it, but there are some things that are still present that people are arguing about on the news, internet, about misinformation, as I said, disinformation, and people not making the best decision and so forth. But we'll never know about the COVID-19 vaccines because there's no long-term studies on that. So 20 years from now, we'll probably have more information about that. No, they probably have some information now that I don't know anything about because I don't have boots on the ground for that either. I don't have a smoking man or nothing like that giving me information. From the Hill, President Biden, he just started a more aggressive approach to pressure reluctant or unwilling people to get vaccinated. So basically what he did, he played the game of hot potato. The Justice Department said Biden and other businesses that choose to mandate vaccines are on solid legal ground. Biden didn't really have a choice but to do more to pressure unvaccinated people to get vaccinated, they say. The pace of vaccination has slowed dramatically, and at the same time, the pace of infections has accelerated dramatically, they say. And they are now facing a situation where they have to double back on some of the relaxations, right, that were announced not so long ago. So I know one of them is masks in the schools. So you think something about the disease that not going away, variants, and having super spreading events would increase the amount of infections and hospitalizations of any COVID-19 variant or any communicable disease, right? Back to the article. They said that this guy by the name of, what's his name? A writer, one of the writers quoting another guy saying something about this would be a big blow to the economy if it's not turned around. So this, all of this, people don't, you know, get vaccinated, spread the disease, hospitalizations, illness, you know, staying in, all that kind of restrictions and all that slows the economy down, right? So the economy. So the plan is to get everyone vaccinated and back to work. That is what capitalism requires. We live in a capitalist society, world, actually. I don't care what where you come from. Everybody using money, capital. Forget about all the fears people have, laymen and medical professionals, have about the vaccine. I don't see many things identifying alternative treatments for COVID-19, even though I just heard two today. And it's not ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. I just heard about two things that they treat people with. So stopping this COVID-19 monster at the border was not an option this time, which indicates someone wants this plague to cross U.S. borders. Relaxing mandates indicate someone wants this monster to tour all 51 states. Opening schools indicates someone, and you know, there's kids up to 12 weren't even able to get vaccinated, right? Kids go back home to parents, right? Siblings, all right? Opening schools indicates someone wants even children to be at greater risk of serious injury and or death, or someone wants to increase vaccine immunization. Making it rain does encourage people to purchase umbrellas. Anyway, Biden made this announcement, sending a clear message to businesses and states and localities that they too should make requirements for COVID-19 vaccines, right? Mandates are a political third rail, but they have been proven time and time again not to work, right, they say in the article. It says the increase of people's Americans who think that employees should require vaccinations, while 46% said he should not. That was from the Kaiser Family Foundation poll. The Morning Consult poll suggests that support for vaccine mandates has grown. 56%, right, said employees should require vaccines for residents, employees, and patrons, while 32% said they do not. Well, almost everybody is a resident and a patron somewhere. Implementing the mandate not only gives cover for private employers to do the same, but could also help shift focus from the White House. As you know, he's supposed to be, like they say, he's supposed to be the guy to fight this disease. I don't see how. He's not a virologist, and I don't see how he's the guy to fight it. So they're saying it's a political move for Biden. Biden is implementing an acceptable way to increase vaccinations and safety in the workplace. International Association of Firefighters, which endorsed Biden, ahead of the 2020 election said it encourages members to get vaccinated but does not support mandates. American Postal Workers Union said in a statement that it is not the role of the federal government to mandate vaccinations, which it says that somewhere, for the employees we represent. Forcing people to undertake a medical procedure is not the American way and is a clear civil rights violation, no matter how proponents may seek to justify it. Okay? We have a caller, 36. Did you want to speak? Hello? Hello? 36? Okay. I'm going to mute your line. You have press number one. I don't know if you did it by accident or not, but signaling to that you want to speak. So if you want to speak, you have to call back in so I know you want to speak. So you hang up, call back. Next time that pops up, I'll know that you want to say something and add to the conversation. Anyway, this article talked about the political how this whole thing messing around COVID has been politicized, right? So anyway, this is what I thought most interesting from the Citizens Journal. This is one person's 18 reasons, right, why they're opting out of the COVID-19 vaccine. And I'm going to go through these things because I thought they were very interesting. Some of the things I didn't know about. That's not unusual, though. Okay, so this is number one. Vaccine makers are immune from liability. Now, if you've been listening to the show and you caught that show, I had that show where we discussed that, right? Where these guys were getting sued so much, they got lawmakers to, pass a law that made them immune from liability. So this lady says, hey, the only industry that in the world that bears no liability for injuries or deaths resulting from their products are vaccine makers. She's saying something's wrong with that picture. First established in 1986, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, and reinforced by the PREP Act, vaccine makers cannot be sued even if they are shown to be negligent. Y'all heard that? This is why the lady want to take this. She said, I can't trust what they make because no accountability. COVID-19 vaccine makers are allowed to create one-size-fits-all product with no testing on subpopulations, people with specific health conditions, yet they are willing to accept any responsibility. They are unwilling to accept any responsibility for adverse events or deaths their products cause because they would probably go bankrupt. All right? So nothing is, 100% safe. I guess you could buy a chicken from the grocery store and it could kill you because for some strange reason it was impacted upon by some pathogen that happened to get on that particular group or that chicken that you just happened to eat. I mean, it could happen. We don't know where these stuff come from. We don't really know what's happening to the thing. We just blindly trust everybody. But I'm going to keep going because that's another show right there. If a company is not willing to stand behind their product as safe, she said, she's not willing to take the chance on their product. No liability, no trust. No liability, no trust, right? And she said, here's why. The checkered past of the vaccine companies. The four major companies who are making these COVID vaccines are or have either never brought a vaccine to market before COVID, Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, and the world's dependent upon these guys, right, are serial felons, Pfizer and AstraZeneca, right? Both. Never brought a vaccine to market and are serial felons. Both. Johnson and Johnson. Now, that's a red flag. That was a candy store. It's a person in your community selling something. Moderna had been trying to modernize our RNA. That's the company's name, Moderna, as she said, for years, but had never successfully brought any product to market. How nice for them to get a major cash infusion from the government to keep trying. Now, I read somewhere where Fauci was supposed to be vested in one of these companies. I think it might have was Moderna. Allegedly vested. Because I don't know. I don't know Fauci. I don't know Moderna. In fact, all major vaccine makers, save Moderna, had paid out tens of billions of dollars in damages for other products they brought to market when they knew these products would cause injuries. When they knew these products would cause injuries and death. Right? Vioxx, Baxtra, Celebrex, thalidomide, and opioids, for a few examples. Right? If drug companies fully choose to put harmful if drug companies willfully choose to put harmful products in the market, she said, when they can be sued, why would we trust any product where they have no liability? They said they've done this back when they could be sued. Now they can't be sued. What do you think they're saying? What do you think they're capable of doing? In case it hasn't sunk in, she said, let 3 of the 4 COVID vaccine makers have been sued for products they brought to market, even though they knew injuries and death would result. Johnson & Johnson lost major lawsuits in 1995, 1996, 2001, 2010, 2011, 2016, 2019. For what it's worth, Johnson & Johnson vaccine also contains tissues from aborted fetal cells. Perhaps a topic for, oh, my God. Okay, now, I read something else about vaccines and aborted fetal cells and placenta and stuff like that. Anyway, Pfizer has the distinction of the biggest criminal payout in history, but have lost so many lawsuits, it's hard to count, to say. And you can look those things up. Matter of fact, I took the time to look at it. It's a lot of stuff. I don't have time to be talking about how many lawsuits they had. This lady is saying they had a lot. Trust me, they have a lot. You can look them up for yourself. You can see it. Maybe that's why they were demanding that countries where they don't have liability protection put up collateral to cover vaccine injury lawsuits. AstraZeneca has similarly lost so many lawsuits it's hard to count. The company had their COVID vaccine suspended in at least 18 countries over concerns of blood clots, and they completely botched their meeting with the FDA with numbers from the study that didn't match, she said. She also said that Johnson & Johnson, whose vaccine is approved for emergency use in the U.S., and AstraZeneca, whose vaccine is not approved for emergency use in the U.S., had a little mix-up in their ingredients in 5 million doses. I think the story is they both were made under the same roof and had some, I don't even know how that happened. If they made under the same roof, but in different departments, I'm assuming that they're in different parts of the same building. Excuse me. Choke on myself. Anyway, that's a problem I did. That's kind of crazy. So they're giving the free pass on liability and the checkered pass of these companies, why would we assume that all their vaccines are safe and made completely above board?
Well,
I think Lee's got a point. Where else in life would we trust someone with that kind of reputation? Like, as I was saying, if you knew somebody was selling cars that break down within about 3 months, carpet coming up out of a brand new car within a year, which I never seen carpet come out of a car actually at all until I bought my car. But, you know, you got little all these little things happening to with their vehicles that, you know, or product. Why would you buy something from them, she said. To me, that makes as much sense as expecting a remorseless, abusive, unfaithful lover to become a different person because a judge said deep down they are a good person. She don't trust them, right? The ugly history of attempts to make coronavirus vaccines. Apparently, they've been trying to make a vaccine forever for this thing. There have been many attempts to make viral vaccines in the past that ended in utter failure, which is why we did not have a coronavirus vaccine in 2020. I always wonder why they never had a cure for the common cold. In the 1960s, scientists attempted to make a RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, SYNCYTIAL virus vaccine for infants. In the study, they skipped animal trials because they weren't necessary back then. In the end, vaccinated infants got much sicker than the unvaccinated infants when exposed to the virus in nature, with 80% of the vaccinated infants requiring hospitalization and two of them died. After 2000, scientists made many attempts to create coronavirus vaccine. For the past 20 years, all ended in failure because the animals in the clinical trials got very sick and many died, just like the children in the 60s. You can read about that stuff too, right? My friend, you can go to this article, just write in there 18 reasons why people refuse to take the vaccine, and you can check this article that I'm reading to you right now out and go to these places that she's talking about. So she said there's basically, if you want to read about individual studies, you can check out the study links. 2004 attempted vaccine produced hepatitis in ferrets. In 2005, mice and civets became sick and more susceptible to coronaviruses after being vaccinated. 2012, the ferrets became sick and died. And in this study, mice and ferrets developed lung disease. In 2016, study also produced lung disease in mice. The typical pattern in the studies mentioned above is that the children and animals produce beautiful antibody responses after being vaccinated. Say, it looked good. Looked like they hit the jackpot. The problem came when the children and animals were exposed to a wild version of the virus, right? When that happened, an unexplained phenomenon called antibody-dependent enhancement, ADE, also known as vaccine-enhanced disease, BED, B-E-D, occurred where the immune system produced a cytokine storm, overwhelmingly attacked the body, and the children and the animals died. The vaccine makers have no data to suggest their rushed vaccines have overcome that problem, she said. In other words, never before had any attempt to make a coronavirus vaccine been successful, nor has the gene therapy technology, that is mRNA vaccines, been safely brought to market. She said, but since they had billions of dollars in government funding, she's implying that there is some conspiracy here to make money. As I said in a previous broadcast, there have been 9 billionaires created since the since the coronavirus hit and the vaccine sales. I think I read somewhere that said corona, even though we don't pay for it, it costs like $20 a shot. Where like they talked about the DNA, the AstraZeneca one would be like $3 to $5 a shot. Anyway, that's another story. It said the data gaps submitted to the FDA by the vaccine makers. There were data gaps. The fight redacted something. So it said, then he went to, it's grayed out. Then he came home. So you just, it's just redacted. So that's like a data gap. That's like redacting the information, hiding. Not being what they call it. What is the word they use for that? I don't know why. Not being open with the information. So, disclosure. You know, it's not having full disclosure. But I don't know why anything that, if it did look that way, why would anybody even dream about using it? When the vaccine makers submitted their papers to the FDA for emergency use authorization. The EU, note that the EUA is not the same as a full FDA approval, which I think we know that, right? Emergency is not the same as, so it's not approved. It's only approved for emergency use authorization, which means, hey, looks like it looks like the benefits outweigh the risk. That's what I get from that. FDA approval means this is not harmful, but even though with that, it seems like they're both the same thing, except for one is saying, yeah, all right, we checked it out, and to the best of our knowledge, this thing should be safe. So that's the, I guess that's the difference of the approval and this EUA thing. They're saying, hey, it looks like it, the benefits is going to outweigh the risk better than nothing. So the data gap reported was that they have nothing in their trial to suggest they overcame that pesky problem of vaccine-enhanced disease, right? They simply don't know. They have no idea if the vaccines they've made will also produce the same cytokine storm and death as previous attempts at such products. This is a problem. This is a really big problem, right? And I'm not a virologist, and I don't have privy to this information, but telling you what the lady said. This lady, right? This is why she won't take the vaccine. She said, as Joseph Marcola points out, previous attempts to develop an mRNA-based drug using lipid, and this is what they use with it, right? Nanoparticles fail. Oh, no, not nanoparticles. I'm thinking lipid. I know they use a fat to contain this RNA thing, but I don't know what this is right here. Excuse me. Previous attempts to develop an mRNA-based drug using lipid nanoparticles failed and had to be abandoned because when the dose was too low, the drug had no effect, and when dose too high, the drug became too toxic, right? An obvious question is, what has changed that now makes this technology safe enough for mass use, which is a damn good question. Vaccine or not, we all should be wondering. If anything of what this lady is saying, we should be wondering what the hell's going on. If that enough, she said that's not alarming enough. Here are other gaps in the data. There is no data to suggest safety or efficacy regarding anyone younger than 18 years old or older than age 55, pregnant or lactating mothers, autoimmune conditions, immunocompromised individual. No data on transmission of COVID. No data on preventing mortality from COVID. No data on duration of protection from COVID. Yeah, that's hard to believe. She said that's hard to believe, right? Yeah, that's very hard to believe. And I hope that I hope this lady is just not right. I'd rather her not be not right than for her to be right. And I'm not trying to say that in a blind way, but wow. Because if we're living up under these type of monsters, we don't stand a chance. She said, in case you think she's making this up and you want to see the actual documents sent to the FDA by Pfizer and Moderna for the emergency use and authorization, if you go to this article, you can tap right into it, all right? The data gaps can be found starting with page 46 and 48 respectfully. Right? For now, let's turn our eyes to the raw data the vaccine makers use to submit for emergency use. Right? Number five, no access to raw data from the trial. Would you like to see the raw data that produced the 90% and 95% effective claims touted in the news? She said, me too. But they won't let us see the data, as pointed out in the BMJ. Something about the Pfizer and Moderna efficacy claim smells very funny. There were 3,410 total cases of suspected but unconfirmed COVID-19 in the overall study population. 1,594 occurred in the vaccine group versus 1,816 in the placebo group. Did they fail to do science in their scientific study by not verifying a major variable? Could they not test those suspected but unconfirmed cases to find out if they had COVID? Apparently not, she said. Why not test all 3,410 participants for the sake of accuracy? Can we only guess? We can only guess they didn't test because it would mess up their 90 to 95% effective claims. Now, if that's true, we'll start seeing a lot of people who are vaccinated becoming ill, right? So, they said, where's the FDA? Would it not be pertinent for the FDA to demand that the vaccine makers test people who have COVID-like symptoms? I kind of thought they did that. That's like a no-brainer. And release the raw data so outside third parties could examine how the manufacturers justify the numbers. I just hope this ain't real. She said basically it's a citizen right. You know, they deserve to know what they're, you know, getting in this experimental product. Because this is an experiment. There's no long-term data for this. And apparently there is not good data for this, according to this young lady. So she equates it to the foxes minding the hen house. Right? There's no liability, no trust, as she just said. No long-term safety testing, right? As I just said, right? Obviously, with products that have only been on the market a few months, right? Gear, there's no long-term safety data. So we don't know. We're going to find out, though. Right? In other words, we have no data that what this product will do in the body months or years from now for anybody. But we will soon have that, as I said previously. The experiment is our life right now. Given all the risks above, risks that all pharmaceutical products have, would it not be pertinent to wait to see if the worst case scenarios have indeed been avoided? Right? Like that cytokine storm. That's a bad thing. That sounds like the vaccine really, I don't know, it sounds like leaky vaccines being made and this thing, helping this thing Well, it's preventing your body from fighting it, basically. Sounds like, anyway. Number seven, no informed consent. What most who are taking the vaccine don't know is that because these products are still in clinical trials, she said, because these products are still in clinical trials, anyone who gets the shot is now part of the clinical trial. That makes sense. Okay, that's a no-brainer. Well, I ain't going to say it's a no-brainer because people might, like, some people might be thinking that this is it. They know what they're doing, and I'm safe. We'll find out how safe we are or not. So those people who do not take it are part of the control group. So we got a clinical trial going on right here on the planet, right? She said, but if the vaccines are causing harm, wouldn't we be seeing that all over the news? Surely the FDA would step up and pause the distribution. Well, if the adverse events reporting system was working, right? Under the reporting of the adverse reactions and death. This is scary too. Okay, hold on. We have a caller. Hello? 0036? No? Seven, nine, 14. Welcome to Provocative Start. Hello. Seven, nine, 14.
The one time I actually want him in my house.
Okay, I'm going to assume that was an accidental tap on one. So, under the reporting of the adverse reactions and death, according to a study done by Harvard, less than 1% of all adverse reactions to vaccines are actually submitted to the National Vaccine Adverse Events Report System, VAERS, right? V-A-E-R-S, right? You have to read the story because they have links here. They say read page 6 of the link. It's a Harvard study, right? I don't have time to go through this. I would never get through this show if I went to just had to back up everything that I'm saying here. Because actually, I got like 50 pages as it is. I'm not going to be able to get through everything. So I'm trying to get through this. While problems with VAERS have not been fixed, as you can read about, and she has another link to letter to the CDC at the time of this writing, VAERS report over 2,200 deaths from the current COVID vaccine, as well as close to 60,000 adverse reactions. 60,000 adverse reactions, right? VAERS data released today showed 50,861 reports of adverse events following COVID vaccines, including 2,249 deaths and 7,726 serious illnesses. Injuries between December 14th, 2020 and March 26, 2021. And those numbers don't include what is currently 578 cases of Bell palsy. All right? They say of those numbers, if those numbers are still only 1% of the total adverse reactions or 0.8 to 2% of what this study, right, published recently in the JAMA found, you can do the math. I can't. I don't know who's talking about doing the math because I'm not doing the math. But that equates to somewhere around 110,000 to 220,000 deaths from the vaccines to date and a ridiculous number of adverse reactions. And she questioned, why didn't you see that on the news? That death number would currently be still lower than then. 424,000 deaths from medical errors that happen every year. 424,000 deaths from medical errors that happen every year, which you probably don't hear about. You sure enough, because people would be scared to go to hospital. But we are not even 6 months into the rollout of these vaccines yet. So this probably was around, what's this? Okay, this says must have been around December, January or something. Anyway, if you want a deeper dive into the problems with the Bears reporting system, she has some links. You can go check it out, right? Don't have enough time for that because I don't even know if I'm going to get through these 18 reasons she says she don't want to use, she refuses to take the vaccine. Vaccines do not stop transmission or infection. Right, we know that. I think everybody knows that right by now. So, but there, I think they had incidents where they say at a gathering that the only people that really got sick were the people who were unvaccinated. You know, but you can be vaccinated and still catch the disease, the infection. It's true, right? The reason is because these vaccines never designed, she said they were never designed to stop transmission or infection. Because normally when we get an immunization, we think, okay, I'm good. I'm not going to catch it. All right, she said they were never designed to do that. The primary endpoint, the vaccines were meant to accomplish is to lower your symptoms, just like any other drug on the market, right? She said lowering your symptoms is the big payoff we've been waiting for. Does that seem completely pointless to anyone but me? She says, it can't stop us from spreading the virus. It can't stop us from infecting us once we have it. To get the vaccine is to accept all the risks of this experimental product, and the best it might do is lower symptoms. Well, it might save your life. I'm going to, they say it might, you might not die. And we don't know. You might die later on. We don't. I know that's the argument this lady's saying. That it might cause something later on to happen to you. I get it. Might not get it sick. Might not have to go to the hospital, right? So if we're worried about asymptomatic spreaders, would the vaccine not make it more likely that we are creating asymptomatic spread? Seem like it. W914, did you want to say anything, caller? Hello? 7914. Okay. Just checking. So I'm going to go on to the number 10. People are catching COVID after being fully vaccinated, right? It's happening in Washington, New York, Michigan, Hawaii, all over. But they already said that, I mean, all over, they say you can, it treats the symptoms. So treating the symptoms, making the symptoms less prominent. Number 11, overall death rate from COVID. According to CDC numbers, COVID has a 99.74% survival rate. Hold on, call us hold for 1 minute. I'm having a technical difficulty here. Just hold on. Okay. The overall death rate from COVID-19, according to the CDC own numbers, has been 99.74% survival rate. This would take 'taking a product that has a 99.74% survival rate, 0.26% chance of killing me, actually in my age range, about 0.1% chance. I think she's in her 30s. Killing me, 0.01% chance of killing my kids. So she's not worried about it because she's in the death rate is not that high for her age category or her children's category. What about the 500,000 plus deaths She said, that's alarming, right? She said, the bloated COVID death numbers, right? And I think Dr. Bashard had talked about that early on in the COVID crisis. Never before in the history of death certificates has our own government changed how deaths are reported. We were reporting anyone who died with COVID in their body as having died of COVID. Until COVID, all coronaviruses, common colds, were never listed as a primary cause of death. When someone died of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, autoimmune conditions, or any other major comorbidity. These diseases was listed as cause of the disease was listed as cause of death, and a confounding factor like flu or pneumonia was listed on a separate line, right? So they're basically saying that the numbers are skewed, and they were saying people died of COVID who didn't die of COVID, right? Let me go to 13. They said Fauci and six others at the NIAID own patents in the Moderna vaccine. See, that's what, there you go. Now, she alleges Fauci and six others. I wonder who those six others are. She said, thanks to Bay Doyle Act, government workers are allowed to file patents on any research they do using taxpayer funding. Hey, that sounds like that should be ours, our patent. Says Fauci owns over 1,000 patents, including patents being used for the Moderna vaccine, which he approved government funding from. Well, there you go. Now, you ask a question about why is the company never produced vaccine, producing a vaccine for the world in a pandemic, never has brought a vaccine to market. Well, there's a conspiracy theory. There's a correlation, at least. In fact, the NIH, which is the NIAID, is a part of, claims joint ownership of the Moderna vaccine. So that's a conflict of interest, right? Criminal behavior, even. She said, number 14, she said, Fauci is on the hot seat for illegal gain-of-function research. I know if you guys have been watching the news, if you've been watching YouTube or what's that, Facebook or any of those, items, you might see Fauci getting grilled about this gain-of-function research, which he's alleged to have paid for. Gain-of-function means I'm take this this virus, which is the virus that we're talking about, the coronavirus, and we're going to make it more powerful. We're going to make it stronger, more deadlier. Gain of function means gain in the function of the whatever it is. So it's making it stronger, right? He said he didn't do it. But it is alleged that he did do it. He paid for the gain of function research to be done in China with a $600,000 grant. Right, at the Wuhan Virology Institute. It's funny because I heard that the institute was relatively new, and not to go off subject, and now it's getting some renovations that are being put in place to secure the facility so that pathogens are not able to, get out of the facility. I think that's suspicious. The virus continues to mutate, they say, right? As we know, they say there's many viruses. So, I'm trying to wrap my head around this whole thing about this thing mutating. Because every time I hear about a mutation, it's something that's going to kill you or cause more harm to you with this virus. So I guess there are certain mutations of this virus that's not as harmful as the ones we're hearing about. I don't know. But, nevertheless, we got this first COVID virus that hit us. They got this Delta, and they have mutations of the Delta virus. Now they got the Delta Plus, P-L-U-S, Plus. So if the Delta don't hit you, the Delta Plus will definitely finish you off. Since it, I don't understand this. Why is this virus mutating in the first place like this? I read somewhere the virus mutate every 10 days or something like that. Or every 10 days, 10 weeks, something like that. 10 weeks maybe, I don't know. But it's not uncommon for viruses to mutate. But is it uncommon for them to mutate into something deadlier than it was before? Because it's billions of viruses. So we would be dead if all viruses did that. So why is this particular virus doing it like that? It's almost like it has a mind, or it's a mind behind it. Anyway, I'm going to this lady's 15th on reason. The virus continued to mutate, right? The world-renowned vaccine developer, Gerrit van den Bosch, right? He said, oh, here it is right here. It's mutating about every 10 hours. How in the world are we going to keep creating vaccines that keep up with the that level of mutation? Man, how are we going to live? Because I'm not worried about the mutation. I'm worried about the degree of function. You know what I mean? Like, because these viruses are mutating to be more harmful. So apparently viruses mutate all the time. Not to worry, right? But why is this one doing it? Why? The question is, is it doing it? Might that explain how in the world are we going to keep up with creating vaccines to keep up with the level of mutation? This thing keeps getting worse, right? It's basically we're not, and I don't see it either, because we don't have nothing now. We don't have nothing to stop it now. Might that also explain why fully vaccinated people are continuing to catch COVID? Why, given the natural immunity has never ultimately failed humanity, do we suddenly not trust it? She said the natural immunity has never failed us. Why do we suddenly not trust it? I don't know, but we have vaccines that eradicated, they say, disease. Maybe that's not true, she's saying. I don't know. Why, if she asked a question like the above or post link, like what you find above, with all my thoughts be deleted from all major social media platforms? She's saying she's being censored asking these questions. But she goes through her next reason, censorship and the complete absence of scientific debate. How did we endure all these national and globally televised robust debates put on by the public health officials and broadcast simultaneously on every major news station? Wasn't it great hearing from the best minds in medicine, virology, epidemiology, economics, and vaccinology from all over the world as they debated things like lockdowns, mask wearing, social distancing, vaccine efficacy and safety trials, how to screen for susceptibility and vaccine injury, therapeutics, non-vaccine treatment options. Wasn't it great just seeing public? Yeah, as always, the more minds, the better. That's an issue. Because it seems like everything is hurting everybody towards these particular vaccines, these particular treatments, and a lot of treatments were shut down, saying that there weren't any trials or data or anything, when you really don't have any data on much data on the vaccines that we're taking right now. Because we don't know how this vaccine is going to affect you 10 years from now, 5 years from now. We don't know. Right? And RNA is something new that they have not been successful. The coronavirus is something old that they have not been successful in 20 years to bring to market a successful vaccine, one that would not harm people for the most part. I guess we're looking for something that won't harm us for the most part. So she said, with so much at stake, why are we fed only one narrative? Shouldn't many perspectives be heard and professionally debated? Hell yeah. What has happened to science? What has happened to the scientific method of always challenging our assumptions? What happened to the lively debate in this country, or at least in the Western society? Why did anyone who disagreed with the WHO or the CDC get censored so heavily? I had a show one time about petrochemicals and how they started, how medicine started out to they had petrochemicals and an herbal healing together. And as soon as they started to perpetuate petrochemicals, they started to call people who practice healing through herbs and things like that as quacks and things like that. So I see the same kind of thing developing here, because the people who had other ways of dealing with this particular thing, they were saying, "Oh no, that's no good. We gotta check it out. Don't use that. Stop them from using that." People who have been successful with certain things, they stopped it. So, it's harmful. But this here, they don't know if this harmful or not. These three vaccines, they really don't know, because there's no long-term trials. Or have they been playing around with this virus for a long time and they don't want to admit that? Anyway, I think that was the last one. Was that 17? That's 16. It's 16 things. So, I don't know, 17. You're going to know them. It's 18 of them. The world's leading vaccinologist is sounding the alarm, she says. Here's what may be the biggest reason COVID vaccine doesn't make sense to me. When someone who is very pro-vaccine has spent its entire professional career overseeing the development of vaccines is shouting from the mountaintops that we have a major problem, I think the man should be heard. And in case you missed it, in the case you care to watch it, this Garrett Vanden Bosch explaining it. You have to get to this article to hit onto the link, all right? Why the COVID vaccine may be putting so much pressure on the virus that we are accelerating its ability to mutate and become more deadly. Why the COVID vaccines may be creating vaccine-resistant viruses similar to antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Why? Because the previous problems with antibody-dependent enhancement, what we just talked about with the experiment with those kids, we may be looking at mass causality event in the next few months or years. If you want to see more about Bosch, you know, you go to this article and hit the link, she says, right? And so our 18th reason was she already had COVID. So I thought that was very interesting because she had some information about the present vaccine makers who have never brought a vaccine to market ever. And now they are the major producers of the vaccine that the world is dependent upon. And they have never did that. And they're not the leading, I guess they're not the leading guys in this vaccine thing. And we have a lot of questions not answered about these particular companies. I hope they mean well, but even in meaning well, you can kill a lot of people. You can hurt a lot of people. You know, this is, if Fauci, I don't know what's the purpose of gainful function of any thing that you can't control. You can't control it. You have no business messing around with it. So gainful function of any virus, organism, anything like that, if it's not something that is something that's harmful, you need to leave it alone. So if Fauci is guilty of that, he need to be dealt with, and he need to give up the rest of his co-conspirators. If these companies are guilty of the companies, the FDA, the CDC, or if they're guilty of not doing what they're supposed to do before they approve of a use of a vaccine, then we need to clean house. We need to clean house just like you do with any other job. Clean house. Don't worry about it. It's better not to have people in there like that than to keep and maintain a system that's corrupt. It's going to fall. It's going to implode eventually anyway. So I thought those things were interesting. But another lady, she had let me get the name of this article right here. So you people might want to, I suggest everybody read this article, because I thought it was she had some very good points. It's from, let me see, not from the Hill. From Citizens Journal. Check it out. So here are reasons I'm opting out of the COVID vaccine. Right? From Citizens Journal. Please check that out, because and you got to do some research, because I looked at some of the stuff she was talking about. It's just too massive for me to even attempt to bring on mention on the show. It's a lot. So, like I'm saying, when it comes to life and death, people's natural instincts are going to come into play, and they're going to go for, you know, well, there's something affecting me right now, right? Because so far, we don't see mass death. You don't see, like, let's say, well, 100 people took this vaccine, you don't see, well, 80 of them died as a result of the vaccine. Or at least we don't know about that anyway, you know, but I'm saying that's not what we're hearing about the vaccine. So we're hearing that, hey, people who were vaccinated didn't get sick. The ones that got sick didn't go to the hospital. So all those things point to, hey, I'm gonna take my chances with getting the vaccine. You know, and this lady has a great point also. So I know some people just say, oh, it's not FDA approved, but she's not saying that. She's saying a little more than it's not FDA. She said FDA shouldn't have approved it. And they didn't. But they should not have, she's saying they should not have approved it even for emergency use, which is alarming. But I'm trying to figure out how come this lady is saying this, and where are the others? We are the, oh, we got one scientist saying it, blowing the horn. Where the rest of the scientific community on this thing about this vaccine? Anyway, it was another lady had the same, basically heard what she said, another editorial by Judy Bruce. I don't even know who that's by. Let me see. Fourteen more reasons why not to take the COVID vaccine, right? So, I don't know. What is it? Seems like we just keep running into brick wall, quicksand, vipers. You know, poison is this, poison is that. You know, she talked about the same things that the young lady was speaking about before, previously. And said, some of the same stuff. But she talked about this, many people are opting out. She said, so far, no one has been able to answer the objections below. Therefore, many people are opting out of this nanotech gene editing device, right? That's nanotechnology. They've been able to take the part of the virus, right? In one, in a DNA one, part of the DNA, I mean, not the virus, the DNA out that replicates. And that's beyond me. I'm trying to see how to even do that. That's at a level smaller than an atom. Is that, if I'm correct, we can't even see that. Like, do they have that does that, and then make sure that that's done with every cell, with every nucleus of that. That's beyond me. Now, I've seen something about nanotechnology and how small things were and things like that. But anyway, there are 14 more reasons not to take the COVID vaccine, she says, right? She talks about some of the same stuff. How the infants got sick. Sicker than the unvaccinated infants, all of that. FDA, there was nothing in the trials that suggests they overcame the bed problem, right? Also, no data suggests safety regarding the issue. How come? My problem is, how come these people are saying this? Where is the? And why isn't it getting to like the president, the people that's supposed to count, or did the president know this and it's ignoring it? Like, something's wrong with this picture. I shouldn't have privy to this information, and the president not. The president should have had this. The current president, he should have known about this, and the one before him. They should have known about this data, some of this data anyway. For anything that concerned the authorization of this vaccine, they should have known that things were basically redacted in the reports and things like that. Gaps in the information. You can't develop a new technology, show it to somebody to get approved with gaps in the data. That's ridiculous. And you have all these data that does not support the new technology that says it's a very risky thing, and subjects have died as a result of the technology that is being used now and perpetuated worldwide. They said, what are they trying to? Are they trying to depopulate the earth? Because the children didn't die immediately. The ferrets or whatever the animal they used didn't die immediately. And they said they had, at first it looked great. Hey, they had nice antibodies and everything. So they were introduced to this to the virus outside of the laboratory. Then we start having problems. So, you know, something's wrong with this picture. And, you know, they're calling this guy. They're saying that this Bosch, basically, I guess, you know, you should figure out they have counter his assertion that there's a problem with the vaccine and the potential harm based on what he knows. He was all right when he said stuff that went along with everything. Now he's going against the grain, and they're countering what he's saying about safety of the vaccine and things like that. So, and I'm running out of time. So, I don't know. I'm going to advise everybody to do your own research. Snopes, S-N-O-P-E-S, if you want to check out Geert Van den Bosch. Stokes' fear of COVID-19 vaccine to promote his own flawed solution. They talked about, you know, how this guy is basically, you know, wrong. And I don't have time to get into it because I'm running out of time now. But as my cousin said, it's a choice. You can choose something that they're offering now to protect you. And you'll find out if it's harmful, you know what I mean, in the future. Hopefully it's not. But it's a choice you can or cannot make. Eventually, I see they're trying to force people into it. The president and the federal government is trying to indirectly force people to do it, which is going to bring this country to something they don't want to see. I mean, we don't want to see COVID. But I think we got a long way to go if we still here. So I want to thank everybody for calling in, listening in, downloading. Want to continue to encourage everybody to do your own research. Don't take my word for it. Don't take these people's word for it. For the rightness, it's good information. All right? We don't know. We don't have boots on the ground. We don't know. We trust the information that we get, you know. But some things are red flags. And if what this lady is saying is true, then there are a lot of red flags with the vaccine. So, but red flags and all, I just hope that the vaccine, it's not what she says it is, and that those things won't occur that occur with those poor children that were part of that experiment and those poor animals that were part of that experiment, the trials that that died as a result of the trials. Until next week, y'all. Each one reach one, each one teach one. Thank you, Mr. Jones, Kenneth Jones, Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, and the creator. Peace out. See y'all next week.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29th District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.